Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
The main thing we're going to focus on this week is forgiveness. Now, I know I probably already lost some of you right there when we're talking about forgiveness, but hang tight with me. We're gonna go through this together, okay? Just as a quick recap, what Pastor Gabriel preached about last week, he preached about when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And we learned that when we go through these things, we don't want to ask God, "Why? Why are you doing this to me? Why did you allow this to happen?" But we want to move to a place where we ask God, "What? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to get me to understand? What are you trying to show me so that I can show and help other people later on? What instead of why?" And this week, we want to talk about in Luke 23, verse 32 and 33. And it says, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left." Now, just to kind of set up where Jesus is now, in the past 48 hours, he has been betrayed by his own disciple, Judas. He has been tried in court by the Jewish leaders of that day for crimes he did not commit. He's been humiliated, spat on. His beard has been ripped out. He's been beaten with rods and punched in the face. He's been whipped with this destructive type of whip. It's called a cat of nine tails, where there's just glass and bone and stone all tied into each other. And they say when it hits someone's skin, it literally rips parts of their body off of them when they bring it back. And they said Jesus was beaten so bad that he was unrecognizable. They couldn't recognize what he looked like because he had been beaten so horrendously. And then he was made to carry a cross over 3 miles to this hill, Golgotha, the place called the Skull. And then they nailed his wrist and his ankles to the cross so that they could crucify him. And they said, as he was hanging on the cross, that all the weight is in your wrist and that you cannot breathe just because of the immense weight on your rib cage. So you literally had to push and pull yourself up in order to breathe. And then you'd sink back down. And it was horrendous torture that would just allow you to suffer until you eventually died on that cross. So that's where Jesus is right now at this moment, with criminals on his left and his right. Now, if I was on the cross, and I was Jesus Christ, and I had gone through all of this, probably the next words out of my mouth would be, "God, please help me. Please send your angels down, kill everybody, and get me off this cross, because this sucks. This is bad. This is absolutely terrible." What, do you guys agree, or are you guys too holy? I guess I'm not holy enough. But here's what Jesus said, the next words out of his mouth, in verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I don't know about y'all, but I cannot comprehend that yet. I guess I'm not holy enough. But Jesus, in that moment of immense suffering, told his Father, "Forgive all of these men, for they do not know what they're doing to me. They don't know who I am." And that's incredible. So what was Jesus doing right here in this verse? He was praying to God for forgiveness for the people who had done him wrong. Those words right there not only changed forgiveness for us, but it also changed everything in that time. Jesus was also fulfilling a prophecy in Isaiah 53:12. It says, "For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And he fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah when he prayed that prayer for them. Those words that he spoke changed everything. Now, this is the response that we have to people who offend us, to people who hurt us. The response before Christ is this: "You owe me, and justice is mine." That's the response that we have when someone does us wrong, is, "I want to get back at you. I want to make it right. I want to make it even. I want to get revenge because I deserve revenge. That's what I deserve." And that's the response that we have. And it was part of the law back then, In Matthew 5:38, Jesus is discussing the Mosaic law, and he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth." So basically, what that means is, if someone punched out one of your teeth, then you would also get the chance to punch out one of their teeth. It makes it even, an even playing field. Does that make sense? That sounds all right to me. If someone punches me in the face, you're going to get punched back. I mean, that's what I'm just saying, guys. So I'm just warning everyone right here. If you punch me in the face, you're going to get punched back. That's if you can punch me. That's not if I duck and then... Okay, I'll leave that alone. Sorry, I had to step out of my salvation there for a second. Just don't punch me. I don't want to get punched. I'm a fragile person. I've never really been punched in the face before, so I don't know how I would react to that situation. So let's just avoid that situation altogether. So that's the response that we have when someone does us wrong, is we want revenge. But this is the after Christ response that we should have. God forgave me, so I'll forgive you. Now, that doesn't necessarily play into the self-defense scenario that I was talking about. But when someone does you wrong, our initial response is, we've got to struggle and get back and make it even. But when Jesus comes into our life and changes us and asks us to have a relationship with him, we have to change our mindset. So that you may have done me wrong, but God has forgiven me, so I want to forgive you. And that's where we're at today. Jesus redefined forgiveness in this moment when he's hanging on the cross and asked his Father for forgiveness for all of these people who had done him wrong. He took it to a completely different level. Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgiveness, it's basically pardoning a debt, canceling out something you owe someone. That's what forgiveness truly is. And the cross is the turning point in our relationship with God. It shows us that we're all sinners. We all fall short. None of us are perfect. We all owe a debt that we can't repay. And so forgiveness is needed by all of us. Without forgiveness, we are all doomed. Without Christ's sacrifice for us, we have nowhere we can turn. That's the forgiveness that we need. And there's two different ways that we can interact with forgiveness. We can give it, and we can also receive it. We received forgiveness from Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins so that we can be with the Father in paradise. But we also give, we forgive people for when they do us wrong. And that's the response Jesus wants us to have. And some of you guys were in the core team meeting a few weeks ago. You probably already heard this story, but at work, I work at a roofing supply company, and we have these offices. They're kind of old, not like terrible shape, but they're fairly old. And one day, I'm walking around the office, and I pass by the break room, and I smell this pretty bad smell, but it's just kind of faint. It's not that bad. So I was like, oh, it must just be some garbage in the garbage can. So I walk away, and then the next day, I come up, and the smell's kind of stronger, and it's pretty bad. Yeah, it's a pretty bad smell. And I think, you know, maybe we should just take the garbage out, you know, because I guess the garbage can's full. So I take the garbage out, and I just forget about it. I'm like, okay, that's solved. I come back the next day, and the smell is absolutely awful, like bring you to your knees awful. So I think about it for a second, and I'm like, man, something's got to be dead in this office. Something's dead. Because it's bad. Like, I've never smelled this smell in my entire life. It is terrible. So I get to thinking about it. And I remember, I'm like, oh yeah. The pest control guy, he put glue traps. You know those glue traps? They're about the size of, like, an iPad. They put bait in the middle. He put those in the ceiling of our offices. So I'm thinking, oh, no. I got to go in the ceiling and I got to find this dead animal in the ceiling. So I open a few ceiling tiles, and I can tell it's in the ceiling. So I open this one ceiling tile, I peek in there, and there's this rat, the size, it's like this big, and that rat is dead. Like, it's been dead for 2 weeks dead, And I've got some pictures right here for you guys to see. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any pictures. I'm sorry. I just wanted to see. You guys already know, like, this is bad. So, like, I get a mask. Like, we have these masks. And I've got this mask on. And I'm up on the ladder. And I get this rat. And, guys, when I tell you this is the worst smell I've ever smelled, I'm not joking with you guys. It is terrible. Any of you guys who know what dead animals smell like, you know what I'm talking about. So I get this thing. I throw it in the trash can. And, like, I almost fall off the ladder. And I'm just keeled over, gagging, like about to lose my lunch, and it's just, ugh. You guys know how bad it is, because I don't wish that smell and that experience on my worst enemy. It was so terrible. But you know, that may be a funny story, and like some people could probably handle that a lot better than I can. I guess I'm just not man enough for it. But sometimes forgiveness is like that in our lives. If we don't forgive someone, we choose to leave it alone, and we just let that offense fester in our lives. That unforgiveness begins to stink and affect all other areas of our life. Now, the rat was just in the break room. I could have ignored it because my office was on the other side of the building, but eventually that smell would have made its way to my office, and it would have been so obvious that I needed to solve it. And so, that's what God wants us to do with unforgiveness. He wants us to take it as soon as it happens and choose forgiveness. Now, where can we look in the Bible where Jesus really dives into this subject of forgiveness? I always think about Peter, and when he's talking to Jesus in this one story, he said, "Jesus, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. How many times should I forgive someone? Seven times?" And Peter's thinking to himself, man, seven times? That's a lot of times to forgive somebody. Like, by the second time, I'm about ready to stop. But seven times, that's got to be, like, the perfect number to really forgive someone. And Jesus says, no, try, like, 70 times seven. That's how many times you should forgive someone. And I could just see Peter just being so confused. He's like, well, man, I just bought this camel from Camels R Us down the road, and it's got a bum leg, and it won't walk, and, you know, I chose to forgive that guy, but what if he sells me another bum camel? I'm supposed to forgive him again? And Jesus says, yeah. Now, did Jesus mean exactly 490 times you should forgive someone? That's not what he meant. As soon as he says that, he dives into this story in Matthew 18:23. Watch this story. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Now, can you just imagine the emotion in this moment? This servant serving this king, he owes millions of dollars. There's no way he can pay this guy back. And just the pure emotion and thoughts that must be running through this father's head who's thinking, man, my children are about to be sold into slavery. I'm about to lose my wife. My whole family's about to be under servitude and have to pay off these millions of dollars. We're going to be slaves for the rest of our lives. And then the servant says this in verse 26. But the man fell down before his master and begged him. He said, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Now, in this story, who is the king and who is the servant? That's a question. Who is it? Right, God is the king, and who is the servant? We are. Exactly. And that's what God wants us to really see through this story, is God has so graciously given us forgiveness for a debt that we cannot possibly repay. And this is the lesson we get. There's a couple of things we can learn. First off, the debtor can't always repay you. Remember in verse 24 and 25, in the process of owing him millions of dollars, he could not pay. Now, we all have debts that sometimes we can't pay. I'm not talking about your mortgage or your car payment or, you know, that Snuggie that you bought online for five easy payments of $19.99. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some debts people can't repay because you can't go back in time. Because you may have, someone may have said something to you or you said something to them, about their family, about their friends, and you can't go back in time and take words back. Sometimes you have a person who cuts you off on the highway and you think, man, I just need to speed up, just get in front of them and cut them off. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel that way. Just as a little public service announcement for you guys, if the speed limit is 55, please don't go 30. It's like, the speed limit is 55. So you should at least be going 55, right? Does anybody agree with me? If not, like a little bit faster, like everyone knows you can go like 5 miles above the speed limit and be okay. Maybe, you know, sometimes we have those offenses. Sometimes we have offenses and the person offending the other doesn't even know. It's like sometimes when I first began in my office, there was this one person who would always say good morning. You know, they were just always so nice. And then one day I walked in the office and they walked in after me and I didn't even notice they were there. I was just on my computer doing something. And like a week later, they were so angry with me. And I'm like, whoa, what is wrong? Like, what did I do? Did I do anything to you? It's like, I'm not sure what I did. And they said, well, you never said hey to me. You never said good morning 2 weeks ago. And I'm thinking, I didn't even see you come in the office that day. So I'm sorry. It's like, I apologize. I know like that's very important to you. So I'll always make sure to say good morning to you every single morning. And you know, sometimes we don't realize when we're offending someone, or some people don't realize when they're offending you. Right. And that's what we need to learn. Sometimes the debtor can't always repay, but the other thing we can learn from the story is the offended can always show mercy. Right. In Matthew 18:27, what did it say? Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debts. Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know they were crucifying the Son of God. But they did it anyway. And Jesus still asked for their forgiveness. Now, later on, this story continues. And why later on in the story, it really shifts. We follow that servant in verse 32. And later on it says that this servant had someone else who owed him money. And instead of forgiving that servant who only owed him $1,000, that servant decided to grab the man by the throat and demand that he receive payment for his debt. And then the king heard about this servant doing that and decided, well, I just forgave this man of all of these millions of dollars. And then he decides to go and take this man and demand payment for him instead of offering the same forgiveness that I gave him. And it says what the king does in verse 32. You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, why does God seem so harsh in this story? He says, if you choose to not forgive other people, then I will not forgive you of the debt that you owe me. Why is he so harsh? Because Jesus knows the consequences of unforgiveness. What happened In verse 34, he threw the man in prison to be tortured until he could repay his debt. And that's what unforgiveness does to us. It puts us in a prison. It locks us up, and we are no longer free if we choose unforgiveness. And the point there is choosing unforgiveness. But you may say to me, Tim, you don't understand. You're just a young guy. You don't have that much life experience yet. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the situations that I've had to go through in my life. You don't know the people who have offended me. The offense in my life is pretty big. My father, he came home every night drunk. And he decided to beat my mom and me and my siblings. You don't understand what I've been through. I was molested as a child. And I've had to bear that weight and that shame my entire life. And it's affected my relationships with other people because I've had that one instance or multiple instances as a child. My innocence was taken away from me. You may say, well, you know, Tim, you don't understand. I got married. I took a vow. I said, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer. And then just a few months later, they had an affair with another person. You don't understand how big that offense is. But what I can tell you, I understand that some offenses are so big that we can't possibly even begin to understand the process of forgiveness. But what I can tell you is Jesus' love is greater than any offense. Matthew 18:33. Remember, shouldn't you have shown mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Mercy. It's God's great love for us that He decided to spare us from the debt that we owe. And remember what Jesus went through before He even uttered the words of forgiveness. He was betrayed by His own disciple who had spent 3 years of ministry with Him. He was tried for the crimes He never committed, beaten, bruised, shamed, humiliated, and His body torn apart. And He still decided to forgive those who did Him wrong. That's what Jesus is calling us to do today. In Matthew 6:14-15, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. As hard as it was with some relationships that I have, people that have offended me in the past, I chose forgiveness. And you know, you may say, you know, Tim, my offense is just so big. You still don't understand. It's just so big. It would be impossible for me to forgive someone for that. What I can tell you is, it may be impossible with man, but anything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with Him. And you know how it starts? How do we begin that process of forgiveness? We look back to what Jesus did, hanging on the cross, hanging there with two criminals on both sides of Him. What did He do? He prayed. And that's where it starts. Prayer is where your life begins to change, where you begin the process of forgiveness in your life. Why don't you stand with me? And we're going to begin the process for you guys today. We're going to start the action that begins forgiveness. We're going to pray. If you just bow your head and close your eyes with me, I want you to picture that person in your life that you know has just offended you so much, that the offense is so great that you don't know how you can start you can repeat this prayer after me. But some of you may say, you know what? It's just so great, the offense that I've been through. I don't even know if I could begin to utter the words of forgiveness. Well, what you can do is just agree in prayer with me. Pastor Craig Rochelle of Life Church, he says, your prayers may or may not change the other person, but they definitely change you. So if you don't even think you could utter the words today, I just want you to agree with me as I pray. But if you want to, you can repeat this after me. Say, Father God, thank you so much for the forgiveness you have given me. And thank you that you have given me the process, the example of how to forgive other people. Lord, help me today to begin the process of forgiveness. Help me to let go of my offenses and begin to be restored. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, some of you may say, well, you know, I never really lived for Jesus. I never fully devoted my life to Him. You may even say, you know what, Tim? I'm the one who has done the offenses to some people. You don't understand all of the horrible things that I've done in my life. What I can tell you, that God's mercy covers every sin, covers a multitude of sins. No matter what you have done in your past, God is here and ready to forgive you for whatever you may have done. So if you want to devote your life to Him, I'm not going to ask you that you raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to repeat words after me. What I am going to ask you is to take an action today, is to devote your life to Jesus today and every day forward in the future. Because that's what a relationship with Jesus means, is every single day you choose His forgiveness. And as His forgiveness changes you, you begin to be able to forgive others. I love you guys. Now, if you need more prayer, we're going to have our prayer team up here in the front. If you really need to discuss some issues that you may be going through with unforgiveness, or you really just need someone's shoulder to cry on, or you need to talk something out with someone, or even if you need prayer for healing of your heart, your mind, or of your body, our prayer team will be down here. These are safe people. They're not going to go and talk about all your issues to anyone else. Whatever you share with us stays with us. And we want to offer that to you. If you need more prayer, you can come down and receive that now. Let me pray for you guys one more time, okay? Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us the example, and help us to begin the process today to forgive people who have offended us. We love you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.